It's all what we're used to. If everyone had a tattoo, we wouldn't think twice about them. When we're not used to seeing them, it can startle us. We all have assumptions about tattoos and the people who wear them, don't we? Or at least some of us do. Tattoos are for criminal gangs or South Asian natives or circus freaks, right? Or, well, maybe sailors and military guys can have them too. Sometimes they can make us suspicious and wary. Who are these people? Folks my age just aren't used to them very much. The reality is different if you're younger, say under 30. A 2003 poll from the U.S. indicated that 36% of those people under 30 had a tattoo. That's compared to 16% overall of all adults. But the same number of men and women have tattoos. People living in the West were more likely to have them. So were Democrats. And obviously, if you go to a tattoo convention like Robert Fulghum did, the percentage is even higher. I want to tell you a story about a little girl who liked her tattoos. Katie Lee had finally been allowed to go to a sleepover at her friend Lindsay's house. She tells us what happened next. Lindsay and I were grinning ear to ear as we answered the doorbell Sunday morning. There was my mom at the door to pick me up, staring at me. My heart sank to my toes. "What have you done to your face?" she shrieked. "Don't worry, Mrs. Constanza, they'll wash off eventually," laughed Lindsay's mom, pointing to the colorful tattoos covering my face. Through gritted teeth as we walked to our car, "Did you forget that we're going to church this morning?" Although our visit to Middleton Unitarian Universalist Church would be another first for me, I had forgotten about it. "I'm not going," I said as I climbed into the back seat. "We're on our way there now," Dad said firmly from the driver's seat. Crossing my arms, I scowled out the window. Who needs school on Sunday? My beautiful tattoos felt itchy, weird, and stupid. After we signed in at the visitors' table at church, Dad took me to my class. "Let's get started," called a tall woman in a flowing dress. She rang a bell. The kids formed a circle on the floor. "Katie Lee, right?" she asked, gesturing for me to join them on the floor. I shuffled across the room and slowly dropped to the floor between her and a girl with enormous glasses. "We start with a sharing circle," she explained. "We each have a chance to talk about something we like to celebrate or that we're sad about or anything at all. I'll go first by saying how glad I am to have you visit us today, Katie Lee. Since you're our guest, you may go next if you wish." I could share how much I wish I wasn't there, I thought. Then I thought about Lindsay's sleepover and how we laughed and ate popcorn and tattooed each other's faces. I gathered my courage and raised my head. "I'm Katie Lee Constanza," I said in a clear voice, "and I had the best time of my whole entire life last night. I slept over at my friend Lindsay's house, and this is the tattoo she gave me." I pointed to the butterfly on my right cheek. "Maggie is into unicorns. She gave me this other one. Angela gave everyone angels." I kept going until I had shown them every one. The girl next to me lowered her glasses and cocked an eyebrow. "Did your mom freak?" "Completely. I have a couple of extras," reaching into my pocket. Everyone laughed while Katie Lee passed out tattoos. Not all tattoos are voluntary or have happy connections. I think of the prisoners in the Nazi death camps. They were tattooed with an identification number. Or cancer patients needing tattoos for radiation treatment. My dog Lizzie didn't choose to have WS04K tattooed on her tummy either. If a tattoo is how you are identified in your culture, though, that's maybe not quite a choice, but seen as normal. But today I'm going to focus on the tattoos that some of us choose to have inked on our skin. Why bother with tattoos? Well, I've had to listen to other people's stories. I'm, except for freckles, ink-free. I've never been brave enough for voluntary needles. I faint at the sight of needles, and I've done so more than once. Even ones I know that aren't destined to poke me. One man summarized it this way: tattoos are evidence of commitment, body ownership, and community. Tattoos make a statement, and it's pretty permanent. Erasing a tattoo is difficult and expensive and doesn't always work very well. In Key West, Florida, tattooed wedding rings are popular among some. Tattoos indeed make a statement. Our little friend shocked and appalled her mother with her temporary tattoos, although I noticed not enough to dissuade them from attending a new church for the first time. Tattoos often symbolize something. Sometimes they are a mark of the crowd you hang with, whether it's your gang, criminal or otherwise, your roots, your spirituality. Do you remember what Steve Brown did to mark the passage of our middle-aged children to our new class this past fall? He painted a temporary tattoo on their arm, a flaming chalice. There's a symbol of our Unitarianism, and it has a story behind it, one the children are learning today, and I hope you'll ask them about it later. And I also have heard of young adult Unitarians who have permanent flaming chalices tattooed on them. It's the one thing you can control, Generation Xers contend. That's your own body. The rest of your world can fall apart, but you can still control your own body. So you can declare your identity and your convictions. It's a bit like bumper stickers on your car. You declare to the world your convictions, at least as can be told in a short phrase. But of course, tattoos are more permanent than bumper stickers. And because lots of younger folks have them, it marks you as belonging to something larger than yourself. You belong to a community of a generation. Author Tom Beaudoin writes in his book, Virtual Faith, The Irreverent Spiritual Quest of Generation X. He says, for Xers, marking the body has various layers of meaning. This vague sense of being indelibly marked signifies the childhoods that have permanently but ambiguously marked or even scarred many Xers. And despite, or perhaps because of, the religious significance of piercing, Xers pierce themselves outside the religious context. Whether in the cathedral-like anonymity of an antiseptic mall or the cloister of a friend's basement, they administer to themselves gold or silver rings, which in some cases function as their own sacramentals. This is partly because religious institutions today are unable to provide for deeply marking, profoundly experiential encounters. At the least, then, this turn to piercing and tattooing reflects the centrality of personal and intimate experience in Xers' lives. He goes on, we are a generation willing to have experience, to be profoundly marked, even cut, when religious institutions have not given us those opportunities. It could even be said that our indulgence in tattoos mocks the hyper-commercial world in which we live. Tattooing is the only way we have control over branding ourselves instead of being name-branded to death. He continues later, the body is a temple, wrote Paul in the Christian scriptures. The way Xers adorn their temples helps us see that a live theology emphasizing experience is underway. Through this trend, Xers indicate their spiritual need for truly marking transformative spiritual experiences. Each of us must find these transformative initiations, as institutions so rarely provide them now as part of spiritual maturation. Another reason for tattoos is to memorialize someone. Someone commented that on the TV show Miami Ink, many tattoos recall a beloved grandfather or cat or best friend. Photos may be copied onto skin and surrounded by symbols of remembrance. The act of tattooing marks in a very physical way the memorialized one. The artist gets to hear all about the deceased, and the tattooee knows that they will carry them with them forever. You can think of tattoos as the stained glass windows of European cathedrals, graphic narratives of a life story, understood at some sensory level, but always waiting exegesis by the creator, the wearer. You need to know the story to know all about the photo pictures. Brooke Lunderville of Banjo and Good Times band fame has told me why she has her tattoos, and she has three of them, actually, and she's happy for me to tell you the story. She says, "I got my first one when I was 20, not because I was particularly attached to the image I got, but because the idea of having a permanent mark was appealing. There is so much about your body that you don't get to choose. I have a garish and somewhat abstract block of color on my ankle. Peggy says it looks like a sailboat on the moon, which description I am quite fond of. It's small and easy to hide, so most people don't know about it unless I choose to show it to them. I guess we'll ask her the next time we see her, won't we? My second tattoo is a snake twined around a hand with the letters RX underneath, which I got to celebrate finally becoming a pharmacist. When I was accepted to pharmacy school, I had the idea that I wanted to get a pharmacy tattoo, and I sort of held it ahead of me as a carrot through the difficult years of the degree. Not until I graduate. Well, I finally graduated and got my license and got my tattoo. I feel very happy and proud when I see it in the mirror. It marks a lot of hard work and a happy event, finding my profession, which I feel is a very good match for me. She says, it's a very pretty tattoo, and it's moderately visible when I wear a t-shirt. It's on my upper arm. The response is usually complimentary. Tattoos are pretty common on people my age, and this one is fairly tasteful and obviously connected to my profession. My third tattoo is sort of Brooke's folly, not something I regret, but a bold thing to have done. I have a large tattoo of my banjola on my leg. Partly this is so I can say I have a banjo on my knee. Playing music has opened up a delicious and transformative world of enjoyment and friendship for me, and I am happily reminded of that whenever I look at my tattoo. No one can see this one unless I specially wear a skirt so I can show it off. Have you ever seen Brooke in a skirt? But people who I tell about it often goggle a bit when I say how big it is, or laugh when I say I have a banjo on my knee. I figure I've lived a large enough percentage of my lifespan to decide on a decoration for a large part of my skin that I'll be happy with for the rest of my life, or at least be happy telling amusing anecdotes about it for the rest of my life, even if my aesthetic appreciation for the image should fade. It contributes to my reputation for whimsy, which I am not opposed to. Thank you, Brooke, for your story. Walt Whitman says, "Your very flesh shall be as a great poem." The Unitarian Universalist minister in Austin, Texas, has quite a number of tattoos. She says they reflect her culture, her beliefs, and her life journey. On one hand, the left is a Tibetan prayer for compassion. On the other is a fragment of Sappho's poetry. She's now 42 and the recently ordained minister at Wildflower Church in South Austin, and she has come to see her original tattoo, a spur on her heel, as a reminder that she's not always the rider, but sometimes the horse who needs a kick to keep moving. All of her tattoos are like that. The symbolism changes over the years, their meaning deepens. "They call me," she says. "They call me into memory. They call me into living as I hope to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with my God." Body modification, to touch only very briefly on the other half of this much bigger than I expected topic, encompasses a huge range of possibilities, from pierced ears and eyebrows and whatever else, to circumcision, to tattooing on eye makeup, to female genital cutting, to breast implants. Well, the list goes on well beyond what I have time or taste for. Some bod mods we are used to and see around us often. Others sound totally weird. Some I can understand, even if I would not choose to do them myself. Again, motivations vary from religious injunction, think about circumcision, to medical, think about pacemakers, to cosmetic and aesthetic. It's the latter that I thought of when I was thinking of this topic. Not very many men choose to be circumcised. That decision's been made by their parents. I did choose to have my ears pierced, though. As far as I know, for purely cosmetic reasons, I wanted to wear the same kind of jewelry that my friends wear. I did it when I was in university. Well, the university crowd, as we know from Brooke, these days sees different jewelry, like eyebrow rings and multiple ear piercings. We're getting used to these things. Some of the more serious body modifications I don't understand. Perhaps I need to meet someone with them. Ironically, perhaps, it is a most complete body modification, one that's not even on Wikipedia's long list, that I understand most. I'm referring to sexual reassignment therapy that a transsexual person may undertake to match their outer gender with their inner one. Perhaps it really is because I've met several people who have felt it necessary to express their true physical identity. It seems to me to be a very brave thing to do, to say so much with such permanence. Although some of the tattoo folks think piercings aren't very permanent, you take out the nose septum ring and you pass for normal. Your statement disappears. The idea of tattoos begs the question, what am I willing?